Well, hello, saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, thank you so much for the words you've been giving us lately, Lord. They're just so powerful. And I ask that I be able to get these across to the brethren. And Lord, we love you. We're thanking you for all that your great plans are bringing forth in these days. And thank you for granting us repentance and sanctifying your body and getting us ready for these awesome things. In Jesus' name. All right, saints, I'm going to get started. We had about 3 days, I guess, of powerful messages from God in our morning prayer meeting through the words that he gave us. They told a story on these days. I'm going to share two of them with you. The 26th and the 28th. I pulled these out and began to look at them and clean them up, for posting. And I finished it and I looked at the clock and it was 1:44. So I thought, okay, this is a really neat message. This is on 10/26. We received these all by faith at random from the Lord, and what we do is we come together, we pray, and ask the Lord to give us a word from him that's important to us for the days to come, and so on and so forth, and he does it. And so I'm going to start this out. God, first of all, I want you to see that there's a series that makes up a message that God is speaking to his people. And in the beginning here, I'm going to say God brings down the old creation and brings in the new. Matt Farah got this. Hebrews 1:10-12. And thou, Lord, in the beginning didst lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou continuest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a mantle thou shalt roll them up, as a garment they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. So once again, God is bringing out the old order, the old creation, and he's bringing in the new. Thank you, Father. And then we got this prayer of the David Manchilds. Two texts here. And I'm going to give Deb's text first. It's a man childs were persecuted by the factious beast dragon. Acts 26:11. And punishing them oft times in all the synagogues, I strove to make them blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto foreign cities. You'll recognize that as Paul's testimony to Agrippa. You know how that he had become this new creation, even after persecuting the old, So then both Brandy and Leon got a revelation from David in Psalm, and we thought it fit very well together, a prayer of David and a psalm of David. And Brandy's was Psalm 86:1-8, a prayer of David. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am godly. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for unto thee do I cry all the day long. All the day long. Praise be to God. And the Lord, through David, goes on to say, rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Amen. And all of you, by the way, that are persecuted out there, cry to the Lord, and he will lift up your soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and abundant in loving kindness unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and hearken unto the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. And by the way, any of the man-child company out there who are calling out to God, he will answer you. In fact, you know, this starts out and he says, answer me. I thought it was very strange. He cries out, O Lord, and answer me. And the interesting thing is that the next Psalm of David, it was given through Leon, starts out the same way. Answer me when I call. Pretty neat, huh? But anyway, Randy's text finishes in verse 8. It says, there is none like unto thee among the gods, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. And Leon's text is Psalm 4, 1 through 8. A Psalm of David. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast set me at large when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. You know, that was so interesting because Debbie sang a song, and in the text of the song on Friday was the same thing. Answer me. The same text that Brandy had received. It was so good. Verse 2, O ye sons of men, how long shall my glory be turned into dishonor? How long will you love vanity and seek after falsehood? You know, you read the story of David, you can tell he had so much experience with persecution from the factious, from the wicked that came against him. And the more he got sanctified, the more they came against him, because there's a hatred in the wicked, in the spirits basically that are in the wicked against the righteous. And it doesn't have to be reasonable. It never is. It's because spirits are not reasonable, and you can't reason with them. But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him that is godly. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Yep, the Lord says, be still and know that I am God. Verse 5. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. And, of course, David learned how to do that with all the persecutions that he went through and the hatred that he went through. Many there are that say, who will show us any good? The Lord lifteth thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than they have when their grain and their new wine is increased. You know what? If you got God, you don't need anything to be happy, right? In peace will I both lay me down and sleep, for thou, Lord, alone maketh me to dwell in safety. Amen. And Missy got a word, and what I think about it is that the man-child was found not guilty, as was Jesus, by the government, but were forced by the harlot to crucify the man-child. And this one is just like that, Acts 26, 30 through 32. And the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they had withdrawn, they spake one to another, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. And Agrippa said unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. There are no mistakes, by the way, in the way God leads the righteous. There's always a purpose in it. And then we went to texts that speak about the beast judgment. And Merlene Laughlin got Ephesians 5:6-9. Let no man deceive you with empty words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. Why? What do they call sons of disobedience? That's the sons that are disobedient, right? Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Amen. And Sue Gilmore asked a question of the Lord for her word. What is your battle plan for this caravan? And it's really not a caravan, but that's what everybody's beginning to call it, you know. And she got Mark 13:28-32 with her finger right on an answer. Now from the fig tree learn her parable. When her branch is now become tender and putteth forth its leaves, you know that summer is nigh. Even so, ye also, when you see these things coming to pass, know ye that he is nigh, even at the doors. Whoa. Thank you, Lord. Now, I want to say that the physical season out there is not necessarily the spiritual season. That's what we've learned, and that's what the Lord has spoken to us. You know, summer is a time for life and beauty, and, of course, winter is a time for, which represents crucifixion, death, you know, so on and so forth. So that you might look on that in that way. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away. That's where her finger was. Shall not pass until all these things be accomplished. And, of course, her question was a battle plan for this caravan. All right. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no one, not even the angels in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Well, Sue, you know, put her finger down, and she was very sure that it was shall not pass. And I said, are you sure that away wasn't in there too? In other words, shall not pass away. She said, no, it was shall not pass. I'm pretty sure. So I asked about shall not pass away because these two seem to be opposite, you know. In other words, the caravan shall not pass or shall not pass away. In other words, it won't make it through, right? And I asked about the shall not pass away. In other words, they're going to make it. Shall not pass would mean they're not going to go through the border, you know. Shall not pass away is that they're going to have success, I think. And I got two heads for yes. And then I realized, hey, both of these can be true. Some will turn back, which has happened, by the way. Some of the people have turned back. In fact, there's people realizing that the people who joined this so-called caravan were very wicked and evil people, and they were seeing really bad things happen, and some of these people had children and so on and so forth, and they said, I ain't going to put my kids through this, one man said, and he turned back. He didn't feel it was a safe thing to do with these people. See, some of these people, they just want a new land, prosperity. They want out of the old, and they have, you know, a desire for a better life. And others, of course, the political reason for this whole thing was so that people like MS-13 and ISIS and people like that could come into the country and do their thing, and also that these people would vote because they gave them, of course, paperwork to vote, which is not legal. So my theory now is that some will turn back and some will enter by enemy means, and which has happened for years. You know, they say this is a large group of people, but really, actually, in just a few days, that many people pass the border every day. In just a few days, they pass through the border, that number of people. So it's amazing. You know, this is capturing all the attention, you know. But anyway, so keep on praying for the red wave, folks, because it seems like a lot of the things that the leftists are doing are backfiring on them. And people realize that they do not want these people in power. But they're not going to give up easy. I'm telling you, these people are going to fight. They're not going to jail. They're not going to Gitmo easy. And they're not going without a fight. So get ready, because there's going to be death, as we have just seen yesterday, you know. And Michael Hare got this, Ezekiel 21:18-23. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, also thou son of man, appoint thee two ways, that the sword of the king of Babylon, which we have come to know as the deep state, may come. They twain shall come forth out of one land and mark out a place, mark it out at the head of the way to the city. And thou shalt appoint a way for the sword to come to Reba of the children of Ammon and to Judah in Jerusalem, the fortified. Okay, so we know that Babylon conquered Reba and Judah in apostate Jerusalem. And that was the reason that they came. Even though the other countries were evil countries, you know, this one was more evil because they had the word of God and they weren't doing anything to obey it. And that's basically where America is by and large. The church in America is right there. They've had the word of God, they're held more accountable, and they're not obeying it, and the Lord is sending judgment. And I believe the deep state, and let me say, its people, some of which will be locked up and we'd be delivered from, but the seed of what we see in the middle of the tribulation has been sown. The beast. You can see who the beast is very clearly. Angry, hateful of anything right, anything righteous, anything good. Totally corrupt, caught in every kind of sin you can imagine. The seed has been sown. The false prophets of the news media, the mainstream media, have imparted through slander, witchcraft, faction, anger, hatred, etc., etc. Now, it may be toned down because the leadership is put away for a while, but I want to tell you the seeds have been sown. And it just keeps on replicating out there because one person receives those demons and they turn and pass them on to others. And let me tell you, by the time the middle of the tribulation comes, the beast is going to make war on the saints. Right now, we've got a short time of reprieve, but this thing keeps on growing. As we know, because we had the exact same thing happen to us back in 2011, the faction came on in a very strong movement, and the overwhelming majority of those people are still caught up in those demons. And they passed them on to their children, they passed them on to their families, they passed them on to their friends, and the beast just continues to grow. Is God going to grant some of them repentance? Yes. So we thank the Lord for that. So I'm going to continue. Remember, thou shalt appoint a way for the sword to come to Reba of the children of Ammon and to Judah in Jerusalem the fortified. For the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way, at the head of the two ways, to use divination. And he shook the arrows to and fro. He consulted the teraphim. He looked in the liver. Yeah, just full of witchcraft, right? That's exactly the way they are today. In his right hand was the divination for Jerusalem, to set battering rams, to open the mouth in slaughter, to lift up the voice with shouting. And that's what they do too. I mean, they're slaughtering people with their mouths, you know, with the slander. They don't have to have any proof for anything to say anything. And they just say it. And people are gullible enough to receive something without the truth into their mind. And You know, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. And the words that these people are speaking are also spirit and life. The wrong kind of life, an evil life, you know. To set battering rams against the gates, to cast up mounds, to build forts. And it shall be unto them as a false divination in their sight, who have sworn oaths unto them. But he bringeth iniquity to remembrance, that they may be taken. Yes, indeed. Not only is the king of Babylon coming against the people of God and apostate Jerusalem, their leadership, because of their sins, but he also is going to be judged for what he has done to the people of God. That's the way things work in the scriptures, and that's the series of events that normally comes. Okay, so now we got some texts, I believe, that speak about down with the corrupt leadership and up with the new leadership. Because all this has a purpose, right? Now, Don Laughlin got a text that my thought was the man-child Ezekiel, who was caught up to the throne, if you remember, prophesied the fall of the apostates and their leadership, which he did, and which is true today, because the things that have been are the things that shall be, right? So his was Ezekiel 21, 1 through 5. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward Jerusalem, and drop thy word towards the sanctuaries, and prophesy against the land of Israel. So that's the leadership and the people who follow the leadership. And say to the land of Israel, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I'm against thee, and I will draw forth my sword out of its sheath, and I will cut off from thee the righteous and the wicked. Hey, isn't that interesting? Notice that some of the righteous are going to be physically killed, and the wicked. Because some people, by the way, they may know the Lord, but they're in with the wrong crowd. You remember how it was with Jonathan, who died with Saul, but he was a friend of David, and he understood that David would rule Israel, but he was still following Saul. Well, he died with Saul. And, you know, as we're told in Revelation, come out of her, my people. Don't have any fellowship with her sins. You won't have receive of her judgments, right? So if you are among these people, you may get taken out because you're in the wrong place. Come out from among them and be ye separate. So let me finish the text here. Seeing then that I will cut off from thee the righteous and the wicked, therefore shall my sword go forth out of its sheath against all flesh from the south to the north. Wow, this is a major judgment now, from the south to the north. We've gotten this before about this judgment covering the land. And we also, you know, shared with you what the Lord showed us about plagues, you know. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, have drawn forth my sword out of its sheath, and listen to this, and it shall not return any more. Okay, we're entering a new era here, saints. Tribulation is coming. He's going to draw out his sword, and it's not going to return anymore. You know, as you know, relatively, the first 3.5 years of tribulation, even though the dragon seeks to devour the man-child and then the woman, they go into a place in the wilderness where they're protected and where they're taught, that is the woman. And so there's a relative peace there, even though the beast hasn't given up, you see. So we must be close to a time where when these judgments start, they're not going to stop. We have received words like that before. Okay, so, and then Judy got a text, which I believe speaks of removing the corrupt leadership of the persecutors to replace them with the man-child body who comes out of prison. In Jeremiah 20, 3 through 6. You see how it's a story being told here, you know, pretty neat. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Jeremiah represented the man-child coming out of prison, right? Pashur, the old order leadership, the evil leadership, the apostate leadership. And then said Jeremiah unto him, "The Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magor Misabib. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies." Evil leaderships have always led God's people into destruction. Evil leaderships led God's people in the conquering of Babylon into this need for God to send the beast to destroy them, so that seed wasn't going to carry on and on and on. And God ever so often had to do this because of the evil that had crept to the top, right? "They'll fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon. And he shall carry them captive to Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will give all the riches of this city, and all the gains thereof, and all the precious things thereof, yea, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies." I believe this could come into the area where we spoke about the plundering of the churches and the burning of the churches and these kinds of things. So keep that in mind. We'll see how that works out. "And they shall make them a prey, and take them, and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in thy house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die. There shalt thou be buried, thou and all thy friends, to whom thou hast prophesied falsely." Uh-huh. A false prophet, and the people that listened to him, going into captivity, going into judgment. Listen, there's different ways in which God's people are conquered by Babylon. There is the great harlot in Revelation, the mother of the harlots, meaning all of those denominations that came out of her. And what is her name? Mystery Babylon. Babylon has conquered these religious people, some of whom are called God's people. They've been conquered. They've been deceived. They've been brought into captivity. Now, that's one way. And another way is physically speaking. Physically speaking. Yes, and I want to tell you, there's a judgment going to go across this land that I believe is going to set God's people free from apostate Christianity in order to be ready to follow the man-child. This judgment is necessary. You can try to stop it, but I don't think it's going to be completely stopped because a certain amount of it is necessary. So Pashur, the false prophet, went into captivity and all of their people that they prophesied to falsely. It pays for you to listen to the truth. If you listen to a lie, you can see what happens to people who listen to a lie. Those listening to the mainstream media go absolutely nuts. It's amazing. You want to know the beast? How is the beast and the whole world? How are we going to be hated by all nations for his name's sake? You're looking at it. You're looking at the seed that's going to bring all this to pass. It's being sowed now. And Amber got a text that made me think of, just like the man-childs, Mordecai and Daniel and Joseph and Jesus were brought out of prison by the king. Jehoiachin came out of prison under the beast to rule. You notice all of these men came out of prison to rule. Well, Now we've got this text, 2 Kings 25:27-30. See, we're still telling this story here. And it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, did lift up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, out of prison. There it is. And he spake kindly unto him, and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon. Wow, so that's pretty interesting. That, again, looks like Mordecai and Daniel and Joseph and Jesus, right? And changed his prison garments. Well, that reminded me of this. I believe changed his garments speaks of changing his works, changing his life, removing iniquity in one day, as is mentioned here in Zechariah 3:1-10. Now, we didn't receive this. This is just what came to me. All the rest of this we received. Okay, Zechariah 3:1-10. And he showed me Joshua, which is, by the way, also Jesus. Now, Jesus is Jesus, but Jesus is also the body of Christ, right? Jesus in the earth today, right? The high priest, now we know Jesus is the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to be his adversary. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Yea, the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Well, who was Jesus and who was Joshua? Actually, the leadership of God's people, the leadership over Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is called the bride, right? Hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Okay. In other words, whoever this was, it's a leadership of God's people, and they've been plucked out of the fire. In other words, they've gone through the fire. Now, and that's for what? What does fire do? It purifies, right? Now, Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take the filthy garments from off of him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. So all of his works were changed, right? Because put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You're putting on the works of Jesus, right? I've caused thine iniquity to pass. When he changed his clothing, his iniquity passed from him. And I will clothe thee with rich apparel. So look, folks, the man-child coming is going to be by grace. Anybody say he's going to come to perfection? Yeah, but God's going to finish that job in a very quick order. Okay, now these are righteous people. They walk with the Lord to the very best of the ability and grace that God has given them. But God's going to finish that job in a very quick order. And you're seeing part of it right here. And I said, let them set a clean mitre upon his head, the renewed mind of the Word of God. So they set a clean mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord was standing by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts. In other words, here's the new leadership of God's people. Judge my house, and keep my courts, and I will give thee a place of access among these that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest. And he could be also representing the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. An order is something that's ongoing. It's not just two. right? Melchizedek and Jesus. It wasn't. Because there's still an order of Melchizedek. It is a high priest, not after the order of man. Hear now, Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men that are for a sign. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. The branch we have known as the man-child, the Davids in Jeremiah 23 and 33. You can read the story of the branch. For behold, the stone that I have set before Joshua, upon one stone are seven eyes. I believe this represents the discernment of the seven spirits of God. You remember how Jesus, the man-child, was super discerning. He knew the hearts of men. He knew what they were thinking. He knew what they were doing. He knew what they would do. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, says the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. There it is again. That's just like changing those garments. Same thing. Change garments, no sin, right? I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. There's the new leadership coming in. And, of course, we know that, what that speaks of, it speaks of the coming of the Lord in his man-child, just like he did in the days of Jesus. History repeats, except on a larger scale, always. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, shall you invite every man, his neighbor, and under the vine and under the fig tree. Boy, weren't those disciples going forth and inviting people, and the people were going forth to invite people and saying, come listen to this guy. You know, because he was touching the hearts of men, and they knew it. And that's what this is coming again. Jesus is coming again. And he is going to do the same thing he did the first time. And not the way the apostate church is teaching. He is coming to preach and to teach all over the world. It's a great thing that's coming, and they don't even know it. A wonderful, awesome thing, and they don't even know it. So they're going to invite people to come sit under the vine, partake of this fruit, and under the fig tree, partake of this fruit, right? And Jehoiakim, back to our original text here. And Jehoiakim did eat bread before him continually all the days of his life, and for his allowance. There was a continual allowance given him of the king, every day a portion, all the days of his life. Well, that sounds like a provision that the Lord has laid up for the man-child company that's going to come out of prison and rule, right? The man-child types, Mordecai, Daniel, Joseph, they were all advisors to the king. Have you noticed? And this is what happened to Jehoiakim. He set him above all the kings of the lands that had been conquered, right? Pretty amazing. So, and then I went to Abiram Publications, and they said this: there's only one person called Jehoiakim in Jehoiachin in the Bible. He was the son and successor of King Jehoiakim of Judah, and his mother's name Nehushta. 2 Kings 24 and 8. And Jehoiachin was also the before the last king of Jerusalem, 2 Kings 24 and 8. The emperor Nebuchadnezzar took him to Babylon, where he remained until the day of his death, 2 Kings 24, 8 through 16. And for reasons that we now only guess at, and many do, but they're still guessing, this king is referred to by quite a few playful variations of his original name. In the book of 1 Chronicles and Esther, he is called Jeconiah, which is the reversal of the name Jehoiachin. The prophet Jeremiah calls him Coniah, which is part of Jeconiah, or rather Coniahu. In Jeremiah 22:24 and 22 and 28, and 37 and 1. And Jehoiachin, spelled a little differently, in 52 and 31. And Jeconiah, spelled a little differently, in 27 and 20. And the prophet Ezekiel calls him Jehoiachin in Ezekiel 1 and 2. And since he was an ancestor of Christ, he's also mentioned by Matthew, who calls him, in the Greek word, Lekonios, Ikonios. Matthew 1:11 and 1:12. So, for the meaning of this name, Jehoiachin, the NOBSE Study Bible name list reads, Yahweh establishes. You might say anointed. You might say changed his garments, right? One day, right? And Jones Dictionary of the Old Testament Proper Names has the Lord will establish. And the BDB Theological Dictionary proposes Yah appointeth. Appointeth. More like anointeth. But that's my thought, right? That's what I think it's talking about. So then, Denny got a text, and I believe it's speaking about the beginning of the restoration of the temple of God, which is when the man-child body is filled with the Word and the Spirit. Do you know we're called by faith the temple of God, the body of Christ, but you know who lives in the body of Christ? It's Christ. Has everybody come up to that point, or do they just accept this by faith? They just accept this by faith. Not everybody has manifested the body of Christ. Not everybody has manifested the temple of God, which is the body of Christ. Not everybody's manifested that. Because in him is no sin, the Bible says. So therefore, there's people that are in and out. They're in and out. They're not like a pillar in the temple, like the overcoming body that was spoken to in the book of Revelation, the Philadelphia church, the church of brotherly love. They were a pillar in the temple, meaning they weren't removed. They weren't going in and out, right? So who is the restoration of the beginning of the restoration of the temple of God, the real temple in whom lives God himself? It's the man child. So Ezekiel, Denny received Ezekiel 43, 1 through 7. Afterwards he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh towards the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. Well, you know, as the Jews say, the Messiah will come into the temple, which is the man-child, through the eastern gate. And, of course, they've closed that gate because it's only the only one that can come through it is the man-child or the Messiah, right? And his voice, I'm not saying that the man-child is the Messiah. I'm saying that the Messiah lives in the man-child. And you remember when Jesus came, he was the Messiah. He was the Son of God abiding in a Son of Man. He said so. Why? Because that's a type and a shadow of exactly what he's going to do in these days, except the body is corporate instead of an individual. It's the Lord in there. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is coming in his people by his word and by his spirit. He is coming. And many are not expecting this because they're not preaching the good news. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. Notice that. The glory of the God of Israel came, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. Well, who is it that are the waters? He said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living waters. This spake he of the Spirit that they that believed on him were to receive. Right? So what's many waters? It's a many-membered body. And the earth shined with his glory. You know why? Because a many-membered body can reach the whole earth. Jesus in his first body could not. And he did not. His words did. Praise God for that. You know, But he didn't personally preach in the whole world. But this time, he's going to preach in the larger body of those who are Israelites according to circumcision of the heart. See, Jesus preached to the literal. The body of Jesus in these days, the body of the man-child in these days, is going to preach to the spiritual body, spiritual Israelites. Okay? And the earth shined with his glory. Can't wait, right? And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city. Oh, my goodness. Well, now, what city was it that he destroyed? Of apostate Jerusalem leadership. Okay. So what's he doing? He's replacing the old with the new. He's replacing the corrupt with the new, just as we've been seeing, you know. And the visions were like the vision that I saw by the river Shabar, where the people were in captivity to Babylon. And I fell upon my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by way of the gate, whose prospect is towards the east. Yes. So they're expecting their Messiah to come. Well, they don't know. He already came. And now he's coming again. Huh, isn't that something? And the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Woo-hoo. There it is, the coming of the Lord. Not in the way they suspect, truly, but he truly is coming. And his glory is going to fill the house of God, the temple of God. And as this house grows, because more and more people are coming into it by the resurrection life of Jesus Christ, entering them through the power of his Holy Spirit and through the true word of God, see, it's going to continue to grow. That's why the man-child is just the first fruits, not the only fruits. So this is the replacement for the old leadership, which reminded me of Malachi 3 and 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Now, they're going to be shocked. They're not expecting him to do any such thing. They want him to pass through the air, snatch him up out of this place, and take him somewhere. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly, there it is, that's kind of like that one day thing, right? Come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant whom you desire, behold, he cometh, saith the Lord of hosts. Yes, he's coming, and they don't suspect how. Because they didn't know the first time. The people of God did not know the first time how the man-child, the Messiah, was coming. They did not know. And they were wrong. And they're wrong this time too, because the things that have been are the things that shall be. They're wrong again. And I heard one speaking unto me out of the house, and a man stood by me. And he said unto me, Son of Man. Son of Man was a name that, of course, was given to Ezekiel, who was caught up to the throne. And Son of Man, of course, was given to Jesus, who also was caught up to the throne. This is the place of my throne. What is the place of his throne? This temple. These people who have come into the maturity of having Christ in them, the hope of glory. He has come into the beginning of his temple. This is the place of my throne. See, Ezekiel as man-child was called to the throne of dominion, as the overcomers in Revelation were caught up to the throne. He sat down with me, and he that overcometh will sit down with me in my throne, as I overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. That's a big throne. It's a big throne. And the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. Forever. This is an eternal creation that he's making this time. The first one's passing away. And the house of Israel shall no more defile my holy name. Oh, glory to God. Now, this has never happened. So when it happens, the defiling is not going to happen again. The people are going to come in. They're going to be matured. They're going to be full of Jesus. They're going to have the anointing, and et cetera. Neither shall they nor their kings by their whoredom and by the dead bodies of their kings in their high places. They won't worship their leaders anymore. You know, all the reformers who people claimed as their leader, you know, when they were a totally corrupt denomination, had nothing to do with their leaders, but they claimed them anyway. How silly. Those leaders, by the way, were all spirit-filled men in a corrupt denomination and claimed them. Don't work, does it? So, now Denny received this. This text right here. He received this text. And Debbie, who I'm going to share with you, got a very, very similar text. Everybody was awed that they didn't know that one another had gotten these texts. And we're going to see again in her text the glory of the Lord coming into his temple. Pretty neat, huh? So what's the chances that both Denny and Debbie, a married couple, got verses using the same words, and they didn't know each other had received this? And they got it by faith at random, which the faction rail about, because they don't believe in dreams or anything by random faith anymore, once they get that demons in them. So here's Debbie's text. Isaiah 6, 1 through 5. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne. Well, hey, there's something interesting right here. You know, Uzziah died of leprosy because of sin, and leprosy is a symbol of sin. And he died, he was taken out, and he saw the Lord sitting upon the throne. In other words, caught up to the throne of God. Isn't that interesting? High and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. See, the glory of God filled the temple of God. There it is. Above him stood the seraphim, and each one had six wings, and twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Oh, glory be to God. Remember years ago, I was with a Pentecostal group outside Louisiana State University, where we had a little coffee shop where we would invite the students to come in and talk to them about the Lord and share with them and pray over them to receive the Holy Spirit. And we were having a prayer meeting in there before people came. And everybody was kind of kneeling at their chair and with their head on their seat and praying and calling out to the Lord and so on and so forth. And I saw that holy smoke come in and fill the room. And I watched it for a few minutes. Other people did see it too. And it filled the room. And after a few minutes, it left. Some people call it the Shekinah glory. But it is the glory of God. But anyway, this reminded me of what Malachi 3 and 1 says. Behold, I send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. There it is again. Suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant whom you desire, behold, he cometh, saith the Lord of hosts. Ooh, isn't that good? Back to our original text in Isaiah, Debbie speaking. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He came to his temple. You know what? A lot of people did not know when they looked upon Jesus, they were looking upon the Lord. All they saw was flesh. You know what? He's coming again. And this is like, of course, Denny's verses above, the glory of the Lord came to his temple. Somebody, when we shared this in the meeting, reminded us of the battle hymn of the Republic. You probably don't hear it anymore. It's too religious sounding, I'm sure. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord, and he hath trampled out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. Interesting, huh? Yes, this is what's coming. And Shay received the birth of the man-child body. And this was the second day in a row that we had received this text. Figure that out. What's the chance of that? It's a big Bible. Matthew 1, 24 through 25. And the Lord arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. And Joseph, arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took unto him his wife and knew her not till she had brought forth a son. And he called his name Jesus, which is what? God with us. God is going to be with us. And Eve got a word we believe is for the bride. Acts 1 and 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. There's the Spirit of God filling the temple as it's being built, expanding. Yeah. And Eve also got a word for the David man-child. 2 Samuel 12, 29 through 31. And David gathered all the people together and went to Reba, which is the city, the chief city of the capital of the Amorites among the eastern hills, some 20 miles east of the Jordan. And that's where they had the bedstead of Og preserved. And Og was the last of the Rephaim, or Zamzumim. And they were expelled by the Ammonites. For a meaning of the name Reba, the N-O-B-S-E study Bible name lists Great. Jones Dictionary of the Old Testament proper names was Great City. So it could be a great person or a great city, right? And the BDB, Theological Dictionary, proposed great or populous. Okay, so let me get back to the text here. We're talking about conquering the people of the giant there, right? And went to Reba and fought against it and took it. So the Davids took this city of the giants, a great city. And he took the crown off their king from off his head, and the weight thereof was a talent of gold. That's a heavy crown there, huh? And it was, as it were, precious stones, and it was set on David's head. And he brought forth the spoil of the city. David conquered the giant. And he was given the leadership too, wasn't he? And he brought forth the spoil of the city exceedingly much. So David became very rich even from that right there. Yeah. And he conquered the giant again. And he brought forth the people that were therein and put them under saws and under harrows of iron and under axes of iron and made them to pass through the brick kiln. And thus did he cause all the cities of the children of Ammon, in other words, to serve the people as servants. And David and all the people returned unto Jerusalem. Awesome. Isn't that cool? And then Sue Gilbert got this, Luke 10, 2 and 3. And he said unto them, the harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, what was the work of Jesus? And especially if Jesus is coming now in a corporate body of people called the first fruits, the man child, They have to cover the earth. And not only that, if you just take that first parable and you multiply it, you have each Jesus bringing forth the 12 disciples, right? And then them going forth to raise up the fivefold ministry and so on and so forth. See, there's going to be a rapid expansion of the kingdom of God, of the temple of God, too. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs in the midst of wolves. Now, isn't that just cool? That the Lord would give us such a message here. Now, can I share with you the other message here? On the 28th. Okay. First, I'm going to share Shay's word because it's so important. Deuteronomy 32. And 7 says, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Why? Ask thy father, he will show thee, thine elders, and they will tell thee. Why do we have to study the days of old? Why do we look at history? Why do we consider the years of many generations? Because it always repeats in one form or another. As Ecclesiastes 1, 9, and 10 says, that which hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. Is there a thing whereof it may be said? See, this is new. It hath been long ago in the ages which were before us. So we have to listen to what history is telling us will happen at this time. And this is why God is speaking to us through historic happenings to tell us what is about to happen. So I'm going to continue on with our text. Idols are bringing confusion to God's people. Michael Hare received this text, which I think speaks of idols get men into self-works and displace the power of God. Jeremiah 10, 1 through 5. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the nations. Be not dismayed at their signs of heaven, for the nations are dismayed at them. They read the stars. This is our future. You know. For the customs of the people are vanity. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, and it move not. They still do it today, don't they? Mm-hmm. And they are like a palm tree of turned work, and speak not. They must needs be born. What kind of God is this that you got to pack it around, right? And baby it and all this stuff. Because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither it is in them to do good. Okay, so that's a waste of time. The people are wasting their time with many idols. And Missy got a text that I believe speaks about idols displacing the voice of the Lord. Habakkuk 2, 18 through 20. Now, what is an idol? An idol is something that is more important to you than God, that rules your life, that causes you to do something other than God's will, right? So Habakkuk 2, 18 through 20. What profiteth the graven image, that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image, even the teacher of lies? Yes, all of the graven images are lies, and the teachers of them are liars. And all the denominations are idols, that he fashioneth it, its form, trusteth therein, and to make dumb idols. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, and to the dumb stone, arise. Shall this teach? Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Now there's your teachers right there. Let all the earth keep silence before him. He is going to replace them. He's going to replace the dumb idols. And Don Laughlin got a text that I believe speaks of the one and only Jesus. And if he's not living in you through faith in his word, you're reprobate and rejected. 36 and 100-fold, right? 2 Corinthians 13, 5 through 9. Try your own selves and know whether you're in the faith. Prove your own selves. Or know you not as to your own selves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you be reprobate. What Jesus Christ? So many of God's people have something they call Jesus in them, but he doesn't walk and talk and think like Jesus. Because they're not copying the Bible. They're not consuming the Word. They're not consuming the Lamb. But I hope that you shall know that we are not reprobate. Obviously, people who are reprobate do consider that people like him are reprobate. And they do the same with the man Charles today. Now, we pray to God that you do no evil, not that we may appear approved, but that you may do that which is honorable through though we be as reprobate. Even if you think we are reprobate, you still have to do what's right. You still have to act in accordance with Jesus Christ in you. And if you can't do that, guess what? He's not there. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. And who is the truth? Yeah. For we rejoice when we are weak and ye are strong. This we also pray for, even for your perfecting. Yes. Of course, there's a lot of them out there preaching there is no such thing. Sorry about that, folks. You're going to miss it if you listen to those people. That's some lying idols there. And Brandy got Proverbs 7, 10 through 15. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and wily of heart. Now, you just think about the harlot, okay? She is clamorous and willful. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she's in the streets, now in the broad places. Yep, you can't hardly find all up and down the streets and on the corners of the streets and everywhere. There's the harlot's houses, right? And lieth in wait at every corner. There you go. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face she said unto him, sacrifices of peace offerings are with me. Oh, so I've made sacrifices here. This day have I paid my vows. Uh-huh. I did my day of obligation. I went to church this week. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. Well, here's a harlot that's grabbed another poor victim. The harlot people believe they can sin with impunity. Protestants are once saved, always saved, so they can seek the seed of the world and still have eternal life. Catholics go to confession to get absolution so that they can continue to sin and come back and do it again the next week. What foolishness is this? This is exactly what's being said here. Look, I've got sacrifices of peace offerings, and I paid my vows. So let's go commit spiritual adultery here. Fornication with the world here. We'll say, so what has God provided for these people? Beast judgment is coming to the unclean and the idolatrous. Listen to some more of the story here. Daniel 4, 16 through 17. This is Amber's text. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. Have you noticed what's happening to the deep state? They really don't care how many people they kill, and they're not through yet. The sentence is by the decree of the watchers. Now, some will say, well, Obama's still ruling the deep state, and he's the Antichrist. Well, I deny that he is the Antichrist. I do not deny that he is an Antichrist. Okay. The sentence is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones. So they have decided that this beast is going to lose its mind and devour much flesh, right? And whose flesh did they devour? Apostate Christianity. And this is by the demand of the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth over it the lowest or the basest of men. Yes, and he did that for many years, didn't he? He brought a crucifixion to Christianity, and some learned a lesson and some learned nothing. And now there's a great reprobation coming, let me tell you, because it happened when Jesus' day too. Unto you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given, he said, of the people of God. We're coming to a great reprobation. And then we got Ezekiel 26:7-14. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring upon Tyre being that island out in the waters, safe and secure from the mainland, which I believe represents America. I will bring upon Tyre Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, from the north with horses and with chariots and with horsemen and a company and much people. He shall slay with the sword thy daughters in the field, and he shall make forts against thee and cast up a mound against thee and raise up the buckler against thee. And that's exactly what he did. But I believe he's talking about America this time. History repeats. And he shall set his battering engines against thy walls, and with his axes he shall break down thy towers. And by reason of the abundance of his horses, their dust shall cover thee. Thy walls shall shake at the noise of the horsemen, and of the wagons, and of the chariots, when he shall enter into thy gates, as men enter into a city wherein is made a breach. With the hoofs of his horses shall he tread down all thy streets. He shall slay thy people with the sword, and the pillars of thy strength shall go down to the ground. And they shall make a spoil of thy riches, and make a prey of thy merchandise. And they shall break down thy walls, and destroy thy pleasant houses. And they shall lay thy stones, and thy timber, and thy dust in the midst of the waters. And I will cause the noise of thy songs to cease, and the sound of thy harps shall be no more heard. You know, how are people going to be delivered from these apostate institutions in order to hear the man-child's voice? Remember, the religions of Jesus' day, of God's people in that day, did not hear his voice. And will they in this day? No. And I will make thee a bare rock, and thou shalt be a place for the spreading of nets, and thou shalt be built no more. For I, the Lord, have spoken it, says the Lord. Oh, boy. So there will be people come out from among them, but as an institution, they're all going to crumble. And Deb got Jeremiah 16:10. And we're going to give the larger text here through 13. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt show this people all these words, and they shall say unto thee, wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? We're pretty good people. Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Then shalt thou say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, you know who your forefathers is, the people who raised you up in the kingdom, right? Says the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law, and ye have done evil more than your fathers. For behold, you walk every one after the stubbornness of his evil heart, so that you hearken not unto me. They're not listening to the word of God. They're listening to men who pick and choose the word of God. And therefore will I cast you forth out of this land into the land that you have not known. They don't live on the promised land anymore. They don't believe in the promises anymore. They don't believe in the supernatural power of God or the gifts of the Holy Spirit anymore. Neither ye nor your fathers, and there shall ye serve other gods day and night, for I will show you no favor. So why would God do this to us, right? And Barry got a text which I believe speaks of Cyrus is going to destroy the kingdom of Babylon for its destruction of the people of God. You see the story? It's awesome. The whole story is being told here. Isaiah 21, 6 through 10. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, Go, set a watchman. Let him declare what he seeth. And when he seeth a troop, horsemen in pairs, a troop of asses, a troop of camels, he shall hearken diligently and with much heed. And he cried as a lion, O Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and am set in my ward whole nights. And behold, here come a troop of men, horsemen in pairs. See, they're coming. They're coming. The watchmen have been warning. They're coming. And he answered and said, Fallen, fallen is Babylon. Too late. And all the graven images of her gods are broken unto the ground. Even the false Jesuses broken unto the ground. O thou my threshing. God is going to thresh what's been called his kingdom. And the grain of my floor, that which I have heard from the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you. The watchman is giving the word, and they're not listening. They go right back to sleep. They go to their churches, and they're put back to sleep. They pledge allegiance, and they go back to sleep. So, from here on, I think we're going to enter into another little area. The holy people will build the old waste places of the kingdom of God. And Merlin got Psalm 80, 17 to 19. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man. There's that son of man again. We got sons of man coming. Whom thou madest strong for thyself. So shall we not go back from thee. Quicken thou us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. See, we have to depend upon the Lord's grace. They're calling upon the Lord's grace. Quicken us. In other words, make us alive, and we will call upon thy name. Call upon his grace. Ask him to do what you may have not done. And here's Sue Farah, which I believe the word she got is talking about not partaking of the unclean beasts among men so that you're sanctified of the destructions of man's religions. Just my thoughts. Leviticus 11, 45 through 47. For I am the Lord that brought you up out of the land of Egypt. In other words, saved you from your old flesh man who was drowned in the baptism of the Red Sea, right? To be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beast, and of the bird, and of every living creature that moveth in the waters, and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth. This is the law about these beasts, right? To make a distinction between the unclean and the clean, and between the living thing that may be eaten, and the living thing that may not be eaten. So, remember the sheep came down out of heaven with the unclean beasts, and Peter got the revelation that this was talking about the Gentiles, the Gentile church, unclean beasts. I've got revelations just like that about the beasts being saved, delivered from the destructions to come in a place of refuge. I've gotten these before. Now, you don't partake of people who are unclean and do unclean things. If you listen to them, they will get into you. In other words, you're eating their words up, like we're supposed to eat the scriptures up. It gets into you. The Bible says, for instance, a factious person after a first and second admonition, refuse. Don't sit there and listen to a liar and a slanderer. That spirit will come into you. Don't even listen to it in your thoughts, because he will still come into you. And the Lord decides who's taken out, and he has done it for years. It's an amazing thing that I have seen. And in every case, he is right. Okay, here's Matt Ferris' word. And I take from this that Father will set his people free from the harlot's prison to preach the gospel without fear. Acts 5:23-28. But the officers that came found them not in the prison. Oh, my goodness, they broke out of prison again. And they returned and told, saying, the prison house we found shut in all safety. They came out of prison to preach, didn't they? And the keepers standing at the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Surprise! And now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were much perplexed concerning them, whereunto this would grow. In other words, we got to stop this, not, oh my goodness, God must have done that. That's a stupid spirit, I'm telling you. You just can't think right when you do these things. And there came one and told them, behold, the men whom you put in the prison are in the temple, standing and teaching the people. Well, I better leave them alone, because somebody's on their side. No, that's not what he thought. Then went the captain and the officers and brought them, but without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, we strictly charged you not to teach in this name, and behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And is it any different today? No, it's not. The blood of the saints is on the harlot and on the wicked people who resist God's word. And Judy got a text that my thought about it is, we have to go through holy offerings in order to enter the bride city. And because it is sanctified around and about. In other words, you have to go through sanctification to get into the bride. Ezekiel 48:17-21. Listen carefully. And the city shall have suburbs. Towards the north, 250, and towards the south, 250, and towards the east, 250, and towards the west, 250. That's the suburbs around the city. And the residue in the length answerable unto the holy oblation shall be 10,000 eastward, 10,000 westward, and it shall be answerable unto the holy oblation. And the increase thereof shall be for food unto them that labor in the city. And they that labor in the city out of all the tribes of Israel shall till it, and all the oblation shall be 5,000 by 5,000. And you shall offer the holy oblation 4 square, in other words, around the city, with the possession of the city. And the residue shall be for the prince. And on the one side and the other, I know that we could probably talk for a long time on this, but I'm not. I'm just giving you the bare minimum here. And on the other, of the holy oblation and of the possession of the city, in front of the 5,000 and 20,000 of the oblation towards the east border, and the west in front of the 5,000 and 20,000 towards the west border, answerable unto the portions. It shall be for the prince, and the holy oblation and the sanctuary of the house shall be in the midst thereof. Yeah. You remember Isaiah said that the Jerusalem bride is at the end of the highway of holiness. You have to go down holiness to get to the bride city, right? And this is kind of a symbol of that, I'm pretty sure. And Sue Gilbert got this. These are the people who build the house of God, I believe this is speaking about, and all the expenses are going to be provided. So her text is Ezra 6, 1 through 5. Then Darius the king made a decree, and search was made in the house of the archives, where the treasures were laid up in Babylon. Remember, if you conquer a Babylonish peace person, everything that they had is now sanctified and given to God, right? So anytime you bring somebody into salvation, everything they got belongs to him. Did you know that? Except you renounce everything you have, you can't be my disciple. So there's a plundering going on when we conquer Babylon. And there was found at Achmetha in the palace that is in the province of Media a roll, and therein was thus written for a record. In the first year of Cyrus the king made a decree. Now we've discovered that Cyrus is Trump, President Trump, concerning the house of the God at Jerusalem. Let the house be builded, the place where they offer sacrifices. Yes, and the bride always offers sacrifices. And let the foundations thereof be strongly laid, the height thereof 3 cubits, the breadth thereof 70 cubits. Excuse me, that was both 70 cubits. And with 3 courses of great stones and a course of new timber. And let the expenses be given out of the house of the king. Wow. So Cyrus is going to pay for it? Mm-hmm. And also let the gold and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple which is at Jerusalem, and brought unto Babylon, be restored, and brought again unto the temple which is at Jerusalem. So those who were taken into captivity, those vessels of God's house, who were taken into captivity, are being restored. Isn't this good news to you? So many people who out there think about the people of God who are in captivity, who are going through a crucifixion because of their sin and turned over to the devil for chastening and so on and so forth, you know, and are caught up in all kinds of corruption and false doctrines and hatred and faction and so on and so forth. Coming back. Some of them are coming back. Every one to its place, and thou shalt put them in the house of God. Wow. So the funds will be released by Trump? Yeah. Watch and see. It's going to happen. He is going to redistribute the wealth, but not like Obama would have done it. Okay. So anyway, I remember getting this, thou shalt put them in the house of God. I got this many times a few years ago for months, a period of months. Every time I opened my Bible and put my finger down, it was on this. You say, how is that possible? I don't know. I just know it happened time after time after time. I can't say every time, but ever so often during that whole period of time, that would happen. I would put my finger down on that. Thou shalt put them in the house of God. What does it mean? Yeah, I believe it means that the Lord's going to use me to help bring God's people out of captivity and into the house of God. And Vanessa got Matthew 10, 5 through 8. These 12 Jesus sent forth and charged them, saying, go not into any way of the Gentiles, and enter not into any city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, freely you received and freely give. Is this just a repeat of what the man-child Jesus told unto the bride, those first fruits unto him? Yeah, that's what it is. Remember what John said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. those early disciples that he chose were the bride and he was the groom, and they were going forth, and this is what they did, and this is what they will do in these days. Isn't that awesome? A mighty move of God's Spirit is going to go the world over. You know, and when, now let me explain this. Go not into any way of the Gentiles. Enter not into any city of the Samaritans. These people were not considered Jews. Who is considered a Jew today? Paul said it in Romans chapter 2. It's one who is circumcised in heart, not in flesh. People don't like to hear that. I'm sorry. It's in the Bible. We have to listen to the Bible. Otherwise, you're going to be deceived. So there are those who are Jews according to the Spirit in the New Testament, which is the spiritual testament. It is the fulfillment of the Old Testament letter. It is the Spirit revelation of the Old Testament letter. So, yes, the physical Jews were types and shadows of the things that are coming. And this is what came, the New Testament. And, you know, those who did not believe in Jesus, who were Jews, were broken off of the olive tree. And those who did believe, who were Gentiles, were grafted into the olive tree called all Israel. Go and check and see that I am correct on this. So who are we to preach to? The lost sheep of New Testament house of Israel. See, this is going to be the beginning. The first thing God wants to do is offer the covenant to the covenant people who are in apostasy. That's what Jesus did. They have a right. They have a right to the benefits of the good news. So he wanted to give it first to them. So here we go, folks. When this anointing goes forth, first from the man-child and through the bride to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, it is to raise up the church. See, people don't know what a church is supposed to look like. If you get people saved and they go to church, they could be walking right into a Babylonish trap. First, you raise up the church, which is the called out ones. These are the ones who are coming out of apostate religion. That's who they were. They were coming out of the apostate religions of Judaism. That's what the church looks like. Now, today, if you talk to somebody and you share with them the kingdom and they believe and they receive the Lord, they end up trapped in some dead religion. But you see, this is not according to God's plan. Notice what his plan is here. It's very plain, isn't it? His plan is to first raise up the church so that these people will have true fellowship, people who will give them the blessings of the kingdom rather than impart demons to them like they're doing now. I went to that false revival movement thing, and I watched them imparting demons to people, laying hands on people who were jerking and twitching and falling on the floor. And you know what? It was a sad thing. They spread those demons far and wide. The faction movement is the same kind of a thing. See, so you got to know who. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You got to put forth the leaven of malice and wickedness and sin. You got to put that forth. And the people that determined to stay in it, you got to put them forth. That's what Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, very clearly. Because you don't want people coming there that need to be raised up in the ways of the faith, to be raised by a bunch of demons. So God's going to change things. Glory to his holy name. He's going to change things. And we need it so badly, because people fall into these churches and they may stay there for 10, 15, 20 years. And you can't change their mind after that. That's just so ingrained in them. I tell people, better that you should go home and read your Bible and find out in the New Testament what the church looks like, and then go look for a church. But that's not what people generally do. And I say that God even uses that because going through Babylon is the best way to get a revelation of what Babylon is and what the church isn't. And all the people that love the truth, that's what's going to happen. They pass right through it. I did. I passed right through it. I said, this ain't it. That ain't it. I'm reading the book. But the guy that witnessed to me, you know, invited me to his Baptist church. And I said, I sat there for about a month because he was my friend. And I said, well, I'm gone because these people don't believe this book. I was a baby Christian and I knew better because I was reading the book. So I left and I went to a Pentecostal religion for about a year. And then I realized, well, these people are stuck. They're going around the mountain again. I don't want to go again. I'm going straight to the promised land. I decided, no, they weren't receiving the truth either. See, you can just get stuck. The righteous are going to pass through it, saints. They're going to pass through it because they believe the word of God. They don't have idols. They don't trust in men. And that is by the grace of God. It is by the grace of God. And I try to tell people that. I try to tell them, listen, go read your Bible. You have the best teachers in that Bible. God, there's a perfect anointing upon those words, and those are the teachers. Nobody should have ever departed from them. We can't teach it in a better way. We can't teach it in a more modern way. He warned us if we added to the words of his book, he would add to us the curses that are written in the book. And if we take away from the words of the book, he'll take away our part from the tree of life, because these are the words of life. Where else can we go, Lord? You have the words of life. We cannot depart from the words of life. And that's what the religions do. Because a man has taken control, and because he didn't learn the lessons for himself, he went through the same thing. He got leavened himself. So do you want somebody that's leavened just passing on their leaven to you, or do you want to get the truth? Well, the best thing to do is if you don't have anything around you, you know, and that is a righteous place to study the Word of God, go read your Bible. Find out what God wants of you. Find out what the church looks like. What is it to come out from among them and be separate? Because that's what the church means. The church is the come outers. It's not the religion. So, Father, let it be that all those who are listening to me will humble themselves to your word and find out the truth so that they cannot be leavened. Now, here's Denny's word. Ephesians 2:17-18. And he came and preached peace to you that were far off, and peace to them that were nigh. He's the Prince of Peace, right? For through him we both have our access in one Spirit unto the Father. It's one Spirit. There is no such thing as all these denominations. These are called works of the flesh by the Apostle Paul. Do you think a work of the flesh can bring you into maturity? People can come together in agreement. They don't have to agree right up front at first. They just have to come to the unity of the Spirit. And what, 10 verses later? Until we come to the unity of the flesh, right? So the thing is, just stay in the unity of the Spirit and make sure that the people are bearing fruit, you know, that you fellowship with. If they're not bearing fruit, you're not in a church. They have not come out from among them. And the Spirit of the Holy God has not come into them. And they are not the temple. So you certainly want to worship at the temple, right? You know, the northern 10 tribes, they factioned against the tribe of Judah and David and Benjamin. And they left the temple of God. They left it. So they figured, oh, we don't want the people to go to the temple of God. They would be over there with Judah and under David. We don't want that to happen. So they made their golden calves. for the people to worship, and they didn't make priests of the Levites. They just made it from anybody that could afford it. You know? So there you go. I mean, that's what they're doing. Anybody that can afford to go to Bible school, there's your Levites. Let them, everybody go to them and their golden calves. You know, no, not God's plan. It's not his, not what he's called us to. But we have our access in one spirit unto the Father. I have seen people come together from all different denominational backgrounds and come together in one spirit and decide, nope, we're going to believe the Word of God. We can see something's wrong with what we've been doing. And so what are they? They come out from among them. Ecclesia, the called out ones, the church. Come out from among them and be separate. I've seen that happen, and it's a miracle in my eyes to see that happen. But I've seen it happen. And you know what? As long as we decide that the book is right, there is no progress when we depart from the book because of the modern days and the way people are today and blah, blah, blah. You know, there's no progress there. The only way you can bring forth Christ is to eat the Word, the only Word. And that's the only way you can bear the fruit of Jesus Christ. You have to eat the Lamb in order to have a Passover. If you don't eat the Lamb, you don't have a Passover. It has to be the Jesus of the Bible, not the religion's Jesus. There's no protection in the religion's Jesus. They don't even believe that they can have a Passover because they're not eating the Lamb. So, Father, we pray for all of the brethren whom we love who are in captivity, who are vessels of God's house, who were taken captive by their Babylonish captors into a land that was not the land of promise. And we pray for them, Lord, that you would open their eyes and draw them unto yourself. Open their understanding, Lord, and help them to see where they've been and where they've stood and what's wrong. Why are they living under this curse? And, oh yes, and that Jesus that they serve, that he's not the Jesus of the Bible. Lord, we pray that you will open your people's eyes and bring them out of captivity and deliver them from this evil place that they've been in. All of your people have been taken captive to all of the nations, exactly like the Jews were, except they're the Jews now. They get saved and they go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name, bring them back to their first love. Bring them back to the one they fell in love with in the beginning. Lord, have mercy upon the souls of your people. Deliver your people from idols, things that they respect over and above you and your word. Yes, men can be pretty shiny looking, but is it the Word? Are we humbling ourselves to the Word? Is the Word bearing fruit in our heart? The sower went forth to sow, and he sowed the seed, and the seed was the Word. And it went into the hearts of men and brought forth fruit in 1 out of 4 who received and believed in it. It brought forth fruit because they gave good earth to it. They gave good ground to it. They broke up their fallow ground. They repented. They let the seed come forth and bring forth its fruit. And they matured in the fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. As the parable says. And it's a replica of the real, true Jesus that we're after. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the only hope of glory. And the sower, of course, was Jesus. And the seed, the sperma, a Greek word, it's used sometimes there. The sperma of Jesus is going to look like him. When the kids don't look like the daddy, you question something here. What's happened? Who's been around? You know, who are you listening to? Right? So, Lord, it's the Jesus. The earth needs the Jesus. They don't need anybody else. They don't need us. They need Jesus. And Lord, we ask you that your people realize that there's no other place. He has the words of life. There's nowhere else we can go. When Jesus said that to the disciples, "Will you leave also?" He said that because in John 6:6, a multitude of so-called disciples left him because he demanded that they eat his body and drink his blood, that they partake of the real Jesus, his blood, which was passed on to us to replace our parents' blood, which was full of Adamic nature, his blood and his word, the body and the blood. His body is that word, the word made flesh and dwelt among us, that word of God. We partake of his word and of his nature. The life of the flesh is in the blood. His nature is passed on to us through the blood. And Lord, we ask that your people realize that they are not coming into the image of Jesus Christ unless they put the word in their heart, unless they devour the word, unless they love it enough to put it before everything else. And Lord, we're asking you for this awesome grace that you would do for your people in giving them the revelation, the very simple revelation of the sower going forth to sow. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name, please bring this to pass and manifest your glory in your people, Lord. We want to see that wonderful revival, Father. And we've been working towards that for so many years, Lord, to see that wonderful revival among your people and see your people be delivered of those curses. And your people going forth to preach the true gospel so that people are healed and delivered and set free and delivered of demonic oppressions and demonic doctrines and so on. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Thank you for finishing the good work that you've started in us. Lord, we want more of you. We ask for more of you. We ask for the grace, Lord, that you would rise up in us, manifest your glory in your people, and let the world see Jesus in us. And Lord, it's you doing the work. So many are trying so hard, and they're slaving under condemnation, not realizing that that won't get you there. Only faith can get you there. And the devil is always going to condemn you for your past. Always. And the condemners are many that do the work of the devil. And we ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, to give grace unto your people through the gift of faith that you give. By grace have you been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For in Christ Jesus were we created for good works. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to do the works of Jesus through us, and that's what salvation's all about. It's not about us becoming Christians. It's about you becoming Christ in us. And Lord, we have faith that we don't live anymore. You live in us, as Paul taught us. We don't live anymore. You live in us. And we are accounted righteous through that faith. Because, Lord, you took our sins away and you nailed them on that cross and you gave us your life. And it's done. It is finished. As you said, I have overcome the world. And we thank you, Father, that we're just riding along, resting in the grace you've given, because we believe the good news that we don't live, you live in us. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for doing this wonderful work. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, saints, for joining me today, and hope you got something out of this. I certainly did. Lord bless you, and good night.